Greetings again, and the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. This is Meditation Moments, and we're so glad that you have tuned in. Today I want to talk to you a little bit more about God's will so far as the healing of the body, because that's what many write in about. You know, there are many sufferers who do not ask for God's healing because they feel it might not be the Lord's will. They feel that God is chastening them and they don't want to resist His will. One woman wrote this way. She said, "I don't want to lose the blessing to be had as promised in Hebrews 12:11, where He says, 'No chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.' And I want to be exercised by it, and I don't want to ask for God's healing because it might not be the Lord's will. Well, I confess that the Lord does allow sickness to come sometimes as a means of drawing us closer to Him and as a means of needed chastening. But that doesn't mean that the chastening has to continue on and on after the lesson has been learned and after the divine purpose has been accomplished. The rest of this chapter, you will notice, says that, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let them be healed." So you see, it ends with the thought that after you've learned the lesson, God's waiting to heal you. Now, you read that very carefully, and you'll just be amazed at how that passage ends. This is the answer to the word afterward in the 11th verse. After the lesson is learned, after the will is surrendered, after the heart is fully yielded, then He says, "Let them be healed." Oh, so often the trial continues so long because we're unwilling to believe and accept God's promises. Some of the most precious saints, realizing the purifying process of their suffering, why, they fear to seek deliverance, not realizing that unbelief in God's word is just as great a sin as that. If the peaceable fruit of righteousness that's mentioned in this verse has been accomplished to the sufferer, well, then the trial isn't any longer needful, is it? There comes a time when you have to accept deliverance and trust God. We must accept. We might as well begin to trust now, because that's what you're going to have to do in the end. You know, I've seen just recently some who seemed completely headed in with no way out, and yet the Lord wrought the most wonderful deliverance the moment they came to the place of accepting from the Lord His promise, accepting what He'd said He would do. Just a place of absolute trust of the Heavenly Father. Oh, He's so much more loving and forgiving than any earthly parent, and He'll not refuse to deliver us from affliction. When that purpose is accomplished and we're ready to fully trust Him, listen to the prophet Hosea in the 6th chapter in the 1st verse. "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up." Now, God has spoken His will for you through His word. And I do not believe that He's going to give any special revelation to anyone otherwise than that which is in His word. That's His will for you. And He's plain revealed His will in that word. And it can't be denied that God has revealed His will regarding the healing of His children. That is when all the conditions have been met. Now, you can begin way back in the Old Testament and find the revealed will of God. For when He took the Israelites out of Egypt, He gave them an ordinance for healing in Exodus 15:26. "If thou wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will keep His commandments and keep His statutes, He will put none of these diseases upon thee which He hath brought upon the Israelites, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Couldn't be any plainer, could it? This is also repeated at the close of their 40 years of wandering. Through confession of sin and repentance, they received healing and answered to prayer. Well, if this was God's way in the old dispensation, surely it's more so under the new dispensation, for Christ is a fulfillment of the old. And Christ is unchanging, for the word declares that He's the same. You know that verse so well. His power hasn't changed. His love surely hasn't changed. I've often said to you, I've said it before at least, that it took just two things in those days for the healing of the sick: the power of Christ and the faith of the sufferer. I know what has changed, not the power of God, but the church's faith has changed. We've tried to bring God's word down to the level of our lack of faith. What we don't have faith for, we excuse by saying it isn't for today. Matthew 12:15 says, great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. And Matthew 8:16 and 17 proclaims that he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Surely then, if my heart is right with God and my faith is right, I don't have to bear what he bore for me, do I? The things which convinced me most regarding the Lord's will to heal today was the fact that I found his command to heal in every one of the great commissions. When he commissioned the 12 and on down through all the commissions of the great world commission. Oh, he waits to bless you. He wants for you to have the best. Delight yourself in the Lord, he says. He'll give you desire of your heart. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Now taste and see if the Lord is good. Take hold of the promise. He's still on the throne. Prayer will change things for you.